that through her prayers we may be found worthy to be presented in the temple of thy glory. These words are taken from the oration of the Feast of the Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which feast we celebrate this coming Saturday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, today is the 24th Sunday after Pentecost, but this morning I would like to speak to you about the Feast of the Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which feast is celebrated each year by the Church on November the 21st. I would like to begin, however, by telling you a true story about a miracle that occurred in Hiroshima, Japan, on August the 6th, 1945. A certain historian writes, in the final stages of World War II, at about 8:15 of the morning of August the 6th, 1945, an American Boeing B-29 Super Fortress bomber, christened Enola Gay, dropped the first atomic bomb in history over Hiroshima, Japan. The atomic blast generated an unimaginable ground heat of 7,000 degrees Fahrenheit at its hypocenter, and a tremendous wind at the speed of 980 miles per hour. Everything within a 1.2 mile radius of the epicenter was instantly annihilated, killing 140,000 people. Concrete buildings, the writer continues, collapsed to pieces, and broken glass flew as far as 10 miles. The atomic radiation, he says, generated by the bomb was so unbelievably strong that many of those outside of the range who were exposed to it lost all bodily functions and died within days. Between the blast itself, the resulting fires throughout the city, and the radiation burns, some estimate that over 200,000 people of Hiroshima lost their lives. It is interesting to note that J. Robert Oppenheimer, who is the chief scientist at the Manhattan Project, who developed the first atomic bomb and is thus called even today the father of the atom bomb. He said, after he had witnessed its destructive power, "Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds." But this author continues that in the midst of the burned bodies, charred skeletons, and structural damage, just over half a mile from the blast, a two-story Catholic presbytery miraculously remained intact, with no apparent damage to it whatsoever, not even the windows were broken. When an investigation was made, he says, it was discovered that there survived a community of 8 German Jesuit priests who were all found unscathed with only a few minor injuries. The writer reminds us that they were about half a mile away from the blast site. And then he goes on to say how all 8 priests lived the remainder of their lives in good health, with no radiation sickness, no loss of hearing or any visible long-term defects from the atomic blast. They were examined and questioned by more than 200 scientists who were seeking to determine how these priests survived and how their house was hardly scratched, while everything around them was utterly destroyed and everyone was instantly killed. A Dr. Stephen Reinhardt was a nuclear physicist with the U.S. Department of Defense and who studied this phenomenon, as he called it, said years later after the blast that all eight priests should have been killed in the flash, that is, the first moment the bomb exploded. In his official report, he wrote, among other things, "There are no physical laws to explain why the Jesuits were untouched in the Hiroshima blast. All who were in that range from the epicenter should have received enough radiation to be dead in a matter of minutes, if nothing else happened to them. There is no known way," he continues, "to design a uranium-235 atomic bomb which could leave a building standing and people living while destroying everything else around it and killing everyone immediately." From a scientific point of view, he concluded, what happened to those eight Jesuits at Hiroshima still defies all human understanding. And the laws of physics today or at any time in the future. Father Hubert Schiffer, who was the superior of the Jesuit community in Hiroshima, never forgot August the 6th, 1945, as long as he lived. And you know, he was often asked in many an interview how he and his fellow priests all survived, untouched, as it were, by the initial blast with its intense heat and wind, which instantly killed 140,000 people. And then the effects of the radiation that followed the atomic explosion, which effects killed well over 60,000 Japanese people. How, he would be asked in so many words, do you account for this? The good priest answered the same each time. "We believe," he said, "that we survived because we were living the message of Fatima. We lived and prayed," he said, "the Holy Rosary every day in that home." My dear friends, when the Most Blessed Virgin Mary was hardly 3 years of age, her parents, Saint Joachim and Saint Anne, brought her to the Temple of Jerusalem in order to give her, even then, exclusively to the love and service of Almighty God. Both Saint Anne and Saint Joachim were descendants of King David. They lived in Jerusalem, where Saint Joachim was a shepherd. And although their marriage was indeed happy, still they were childless. But despite their advanced age, after many years of marriage, They never ceased asking and beseeching God that if it be His holy will, they be blessed with a child. And after some time, according to this tradition, an angel appeared to Saint Joachim and promised him that he and Saint Anne would be given a child, whom they would name Mary, which name in Hebrew is Miriam. And the name Miriam or Mary means the lady. But this child that God would give them, the angel told him, they would offer to God in return. And this they did, my dear friends, as the venerable tradition states, when Our Lady was hardly 3 years of age, on November the 21st, they brought her to the temple. St. Alphonsus de Liguori says of that day, when the holy company, Mary, Joachim, and Anne, had reached the temple, the child turned to her parents and on her knees kissed their hands and then asked their blessing. And then, without turning back, Mary ascended the 15 steps of the temple and presented herself to the priest, Saint Zachary. Saint Joachim and Saint Anne departed the temple in a state of joy and in such a peace of soul, even though they never saw Mary again in this life. They never saw her again here. But the child Mary offered herself completely to God in His glory, loving Him with her whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. God Himself, records St. Alphonsus, with the whole heavenly court, made great rejoicings on that day, beholding His Immaculate One coming to Him in the temple. For God never saw a more holy creature or one whom He so tenderly loved come to offer herself to Him. The Most Blessed Virgin Mary is truly the purest and holiest of all of God's creatures. And if God the Father, my dear people, so rejoiced with the whole heavenly court on the day Mary presented herself to Him in the Temple of Jerusalem, how much more did He rejoice on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ, our King and Savior, presented her to Him in heaven. St. John Eudes rightly calls the Blessed Virgin Mary the daughter of God the Father. He calls her the mother of God the Son, the spouse of God the Holy Ghost, the temple of the Most Holy Trinity. And yet she is our Heavenly Mother. She is our most powerful Queen in heaven, despite the fact that she is so raised above us, so far above us. She is nonetheless our Queen and our Mother. And in her motherly love and affection for all who would follow her divine Son until the very end of time, she prays, she intercedes, she implores, and she obtains grace and mercy. And thus, from the heights of her heavenly glory, she thinks about us. She loves us, and how she prays for us. and presents us and our prayers to her divine Son. And how powerful, my dear people, are the prayers of Mary, the Mother of God. How powerful are the prayers of the daughter of God the Father, the mother of God the Son, and the spouse of God the Holy Ghost. St. Alphonsus simply says, it is impossible that a mother of God should pray in vain. How we then, in all our difficulties, in all our temptations, in all our crosses, and in the many concerns that we may have now about the future of our nation, how we ought to turn to our Blessed Mother and never cease to pray with confidence. On August 6, 1945, 8 German Jesuit priests survived an atomic blast, though they were half a mile away from it. While everyone else around them, 140,000 people, were instantly killed, burned into ashes in a moment, and every building and structure completely destroyed. After 75 years, science still cannot offer an explanation. But Father Huber Schiffer, the Jesuit superior, could and did. We believe that we survived because we were living the message of Fatima. We lived and prayed the rosary daily in that home. My dear friends, we must do the same. We too must live the message of Fatima now more than ever. You know what we have witnessed this past year in our nation? This has been a year of disease. It has been a year of fear, changes, restrictions, lies, deceit, crime, and destruction, and burning in many of our cities around the country. While a socialist, secular, anti-Christian agenda is being prepared to be fostered and promoted by political leaders and the major media. It's really as if, so to speak, an atomic blast went off this past year in our nation. But let us, my dear people, like Father Schiffer and his fellow priests, place our trust in Mary, the Lady of Fatima. And as we do, let us all live the message of Fatima. Which message is this? Stop offending God by mortal sin. And pray the rosary every day. I am confident that by God's grace and mercy, by the intercession of Blessed Mary, ever virgin, the purest and holiest of God's creatures, and by our persevering efforts to love God, to live good Catholic lives and pray the rosary every day, we will be given the grace, the strength, and the courage to patiently bear up under our crosses and endure sufferings of whatever kind in this valley of tears, as well as we will receive the grace of final perseverance. That is the grace to die in the state of sanctifying grace. And that, my dear people, is really the one and only thing that matters. Strive then to live the message of Fatima, to live your lives always in the state of grace. Be pure and be chaste. Respect and keep God's holy commandments of purity and charity. Be kind to others and be always forgiving of others from your hearts. Pray the rosary every day. Do these things and have the utmost confidence that through the prayers of Mary Immaculate, you will be found worthy to be presented into the temple of God's glory in paradise. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.